Folks, if you watch this broadcast, then you are an analyst, you are a journalist, you are a reporter, you are a philosopher, you are an engineer, you are a thinker, a visionary. We all are together because we care about the future of our country, and we're going to do our damnedest to make sure it's a little bit better. We're a lot better, I hope. I'm Rex Jones, hosting the War Room for you today. I'll also be here Wednesday and Friday. Really quick, do a little recap on who I'll be having on. I'm going to have Suleiman Ahmed, the only Western journalist based out of the UK, of course, the only Western journalist to be in every city, every town, every province, everywhere ever, following the largest funeral procession in human history for, of course, Ayatollah Khamenei, who the U.S. murdered. So we're going to be talking to him on Wednesday. And then on Friday, I've got the great top geopolitical strategist, analyst, writer, you name it, Brandon Weikert. You know him, you love him, phenomenal guy, always on with Mario, always on a lot of the other big channels as well. Happy to call him a friend, really looking forward to that. But I want to go ahead, because I'm going to get into Ukraine, Russia, and all this stuff. I want to go ahead and close out on the neocon warmonger Israel worship stuff. Let's go back to Pete Hegseth, that's clip number 22, one more time, like Daft Punk.
Mr. President. I'll start kind of where you left off, Mr. President. Thank you for doing the work of the free world and having the courage to step up and stop the Iranian terror regime from holding the world hostage. That's really what it is. And 27 days ago, Iran had a modern military. Never in recorded history has a nation's military been so quickly and effectively neutralized. Operation Epic Fury is not an endless war. It's a decisive campaign with clear objectives to destroy Iran's offensive military capabilities and ensure they never obtain a nuclear weapon. This is stuff for the history books. This is stuff for legacy. Mr. President, you are acting now to ensure future generations do not have to live under the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran. However, you wouldn't know it if you listened to the dishonest hate Trump media, as you referenced. The folks here in the room, these cameras, they have a choice. You're either informing the American people of the truth or you're not. Because I hear it from my people every day. Behind every headline you write, there's a helicopter crew in the air. And behind every news banner you write, there's a battalion on the move.
Behind every free speech right you exercise, there's a team of people who are trying to get murdered in the Middle East for Israel. I mean, come on. Do we not just like, do I roll over and just go, and just like vomit out of my mouth like the Exorcist? I don't know how many times I can hear it. I don't know how many more times I can hear these people cap. I really don't. Go back to Pete.
There's an F-35 pilot executing a dangerous mission. My message to the media is get it right.
Get her done.
This actually isn't something new to me. I may be a young guy, Mr. President, but I'm not a rookie in this
realm. Hey, what is up with this Fast and the Furious Marvel Cinematic Universe DC Flash adaptation dialogue? Go ahead, rewind that and play the last 5 seconds of it. Go ahead and rewind like 5 seconds. I may be a young guy, but I'm not a rookie to these streets, dog. It's like, who are you talking to? You're the Secretary of Defense, not the Secretary of War. You're the Secretary of Defense sitting there with the top button of his suit button. No one. Yeah, I'm going to puke. He's got the top button. My dad told me not to do this when I was like 9. You look like an imbecile. Look at me. Look at me. I look like the Penguin. Good grief. Go back to him. Go back to Pete.
My message to the media is get it right. This actually isn't something new to me. I may be a young guy, Mr. President, but I'm not a rookie in this realm. In 2007, I helped lead the surge, the public fight for the Iraq surge. Stood and watched people stand in the Senate and declare the war is lost before it even started. Who was that? It was Harry Reid. That was the Democrats and the media working hand in glove.
Pause.
Then it was 3 years.
Whoa, is he coming out in support of the Iraq war? What the hell is going on? These people are degens. All right, we're going to get right back to it. Another banger interview, another banger hour coming right back up. Stay tuned. Call into the show in a little bit.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The Force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Okay, I don't know how I forgot about this banger. This is absolutely Kino. So if you guys weren't following things, Argentina got BTFO'd at the World Cup. Spain took it home. Viva España. Shout out to them. Of course, Netanyahu, Ben-Gavir, the evil people they voted for, not voted for. They're rooting for Messi in Argentina because, you know, Israeli colony over there in the blue and white, it's the same color scheme. But they were defeated. But you know who was there at the World Cup? You know, probably the most important person in America, if not the world, Rabbi Shmuley. So go ahead and throw him up. There we go, right there. We got Rabbi Shmuley HD footage at the World Cup. Isn't that crazy?
Hey, you're not going to let me do genocide anymore? What's going on here?
Like, literally, dude, he's Watto from episode one, The Phantom Menace, right there. Look, he's negotiating. There he is. That's kind of a more flattering photo for sure. He did not get what he wanted, I'll tell you that. Argentina lost, and it was a boring, boring game because soccer sucks. And I'm sorry, it's just true. Soccer sucks, and this is America, and, you know, we really don't do that here, even though it's growing and becoming more popular. Not interested. Oh, 2-0, 3-0. You know, I used to play tennis at a very high-level place where people would go, and literally had a sister school in Barcelona, and kids would go all the way from Europe to America to train there. And I met a lot of these people, phenomenal people, love people from Barcelona. Seriously, phenomenal. Some of them even stayed with my mom for a while, like did the foster home or like home away from home type stuff, right? I would watch games with them and it would be fun because it was a community thing. But here in America, I never talked to a buddy about soccer. So to try to get me interested in it is just like, I'd rather watch like MMA or combat sports or boxing or jiu-jitsu or something, right? Something entertaining, something that I can relate to versus just the whole kind of kicking the ball around. Of course, Shmuley likes it. It involves balls. But just go ahead really quick. Just go throw Watto up there. It's kind of crazy how like the striking resemblance between Rabbi Shmuley and Watto, the slave trader merchant, literally merchant, from Star Wars Episode 1. So I just thought that was a little funny right there. Okay, enough fun. On to serious topics. I've got clip number 28. Which is going to go into the Russia-Ukraine situation. And we're going to go over various elements of it. I agree, disagree with certain things, but the core message is true. They tried to de-escalate multiple times. Istanbul, you name it, right? It was the West, it was NATO, it was Boris Johnson, it was us that perpetuated and continued the war. And next time I have Joe Kinn on, we're going to talk more about Ukraine because I do want to have that discussion because we 100% perpetuate that. And we could pull out of that and end it, in my opinion, anytime we wanted. Of course, I'm not a military man, but I'm willing to have that debate with somebody. And I think you would agree with me in large part on that. But let's go ahead and roll clip 28.
Are we heading to a like Armageddon-like huge war in Europe?
Of course.
What's your personal...
Of course. Because
you think it's inevitable?
It is inevitable because that's what your governments have been heavily invested into. Mm. We were not escalating first. Let me remind you. We were ready to stop in Istanbul. And it was not even a question of Zaporozhye. It was not even a question of Kherson. And the Ukrainian side agreed. And it was Boris Johnson and Macron that insisted on continuing the war. That led to more than 1 million Ukrainians being killed.
Pause it. All right, anyone says, oh, you play the Russian propaganda. What are you, a Putin puppet, a Putin puppet? Everything he just said is verifiably true. It doesn't matter that he has a Russian accent saying it. And, you know, these people talk about racism all the time and xenophobia all the time. Give me a break. Keep playing it.
More than 1 million Ukrainians being killed. And that's why Istanbul documents, they are so scary for European and Ukrainian officials. Because in those documents, there's not even a word of conquering Ukraine, of grabbing territories, of colonialism. No. It's only Crimea and Donbass. That was it. Every single time when we have to continue war, we're saying that next time we'll negotiate on the conditions that we're facing on the battlefield. And every time it's worse for the Ukrainian side. And every time Ukrainians are paying with their blood, as have been told by a Polish politician, it's the best possible scenario. Ukrainians pay with blood, and we provide them with rusted metal.
Pause it. Here's the thing. Both sides say the same thing. Lindsey Graham says they're going to fight to the last Ukrainian. So, oh, the Russians are so evil, they say they have to get rid of the sperm bank of Ukraine. Lindsey Graham says the same thing. They'll fight to the last Ukrainian because the war isn't about Ukraine or the Ukrainians. It's about selling the country off for parts as scrap metal itself. Just so disturbing. Think about this. Like 200 miles of fiber optic cable on the ground. People getting obliterated face first with the FPV drone screaming into their eyeballs. Blades cutting their corneas off before the thing explodes. Think about the horror of that. The horrific nature of launching long-range missiles into a country that has more nuclear weapons than anywhere else on Earth. You think that the idea of fighting the Iranians is insane? A country of 92 million people, a regional power. With some high-tech military equipment, some ballistic missiles and drones. These people have thermonuclear weapons, and they have more of them than we do, and they sit there and they tolerate us paying other nations like Ukraine, like a political hit woman or hooker, to go attack them. Wow. Wow, wow. Keep playing it.
Let me remind you that Lindsey Graham,
boo,
who is right now facing devil, and definitely he is in hell. He was the one saying, oh, that's the best possible investment. Russians are dying. That's quote. You were the one, I mean, Europeans and American taxpayers, that without even knowing it, are paying for the end of this world. Macron, been heavily beaten by his wife, couldn't find any better way to prove his masculine energy as by sending Ukrainians to die. I'm not sure whether Merz is popular right now in Germany, but he is willing with Pistorius to participate in this war. They all getting back to this huge militaries that they used to have. They are talking about enrollment of young people into military. They want to make it obligatory. What for? What for?
Pause
it. Fight Russia.
Ursula von der Leyen, unelected head of the EU Commission, former German defense minister, mandated that all tanks be made to spec for pregnant women. Okay? Think about, and I'm a feminist, by the way. Women first. Women are better than me, all right? We don't send them off to war to go die. The people that make more people for the country. How stupid could you be?
My name is Angela Merkel, and the woman of Germany shall die. We shall replace them with the Pakistani and Sudanese immigrants, and it shall be the new Germany, the Fifth Reich.
It's not a joke. It's real. Israel. All right, go ahead and keep playing it.
For what purpose? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Russia gonna strike Europe with all its mighty force, sending land troops. Who believes in this bullshit?
Uh-oh.
That was the purpose to start with. Why we're still not in Poland and Baltic states, or in Finland, with whom we have borders? Why do we have to go to Europe through Ukraine? We never wanted to. And Putin stated it 2,000 times. But in Europe, they don't want to listen. They want this war.
Wow. Wow. I've got a phenomenal article that I want to read you guys next or here in a second, talking about Baidu, talking about specifically what happens when we mess with other countries and we kind of use these political powers or economic powers we have, things like SWIFT, things like GPS, and how they invent alternate systems like SIPs, like Baidu, I'm about to get into here. But everything that guy just said is true. But because he has a Russian accent, I'll be labeled a Putin puppet for agreeing with him, even though I don't agree with him. I agree with the facts on the ground, right? Now, if you support a guy like little Zelensky, who is literally press ganging the last remnants of the young Ukrainian male race into vans so they can get driven out to go die via FPV drone. If you've been convinced to support that because you're a good person somehow, I mean, here's the thing. You got to wake up. Can't be so naive. Can't be so ignorant. But I want to get into this. I want to find it. Give me a second to find it, guys. Chinese Baidu satellite system is a game changer in Iran's war with the U.S. I'm going to read this really quick to y'all. The U.S. unwittingly provided the spark that ignited China's quest for the Baidu. The story begins in 1993 when a single Chinese container ship, the Yinhe, sailing to Iran, fortuitous, the vessel was accused by the CIA of carrying chemicals for weapons production. Middle Eastern ports, under pressure from the U.S., refused entry and the ship was stranded in the Indian Ocean. The U.S. not only pressured allies, but reportedly disabled the ship's GPS access, forcing it to drop anchor for weeks. Inspections in Saudi Arabia eventually cleared the vessel, but China received no apology or compensation. This humiliation, losing navigation mid-ocean due to a reliance on a foreign-controlled system, became a pivotal lesson for Beijing. It accelerated development of an independent satellite navigation network, Baidu, also known as BDS, instead of GPS. I wonder what that stands for, Baidu. Okay, BDS-1, first generation, that was regional. BDS-2 is expanded. BDS-3, completed around 2020, transformed it into a global powerhouse with dozens of satellites, far more ground stations in the global south, and superior accuracy in many regions compared to GPS. Today, Baidu outperforms GPS in coverage and precision across roughly 165 countries. Here, I'll give you a quote. Necessity is the mother of invention. I'm experiencing that right now for myself, tired of being broke. Like, seriously. Like, they were broke, and they fixed it, right? We're broke and we get into more debt. That's what we do as a country instead of learning from these lessons. This is how a smart nation behaves. Key advantages of Baidu for Iran include resistance to jamming, higher accuracy. It's closer, more accurate, literally. Real-time command. Upgrade has contributed significantly to Iran's ability, there you go, to penetrate U.S. defenses in the Gulf countries and dramatically improved Iran's ability to strike critical targets, which has undermined confidence in U.S. security guarantees in the Gulf. The U.S. decision to use GPS as a weapon in 1993 has backfired spectacularly, proof that humiliating China inspired a technological leap that now gives China and its satellites a strategic advantage over the U.S. That's why I got nearly an almost perfect score on the English portion of the SAT. Wow. Okay. So I want to go to clip 18 here. I want to go to, I think it's Mike Adams. Yes. Health Ranger on Daniel Davis laying out the impacts of this continued war on Iran. Go ahead and go to clip 18.
This escalation ladder that we're on here is going to end up in a catastrophic effects for the world and ultimately also for U.S. citizens. And that's, I know that that's why you wanted to have me on today. So we'll get to some of the details of why, but this is not some isolated thing that just happens halfway around the world and doesn't impact us. If we don't find peace, if we don't restart the Strait of Hormuz through normal traffic, and by that, I mean at least 100 commercial ships per day for 100 days in a row. If we don't get back to that, the consequences for the world will be catastrophic for years to come. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will. And unfortunately, and I hope somebody from the White House tunes into this show, because it doesn't seem that they don't seem to be aware of these compounding effects. They're just looking at the X's and O's on the attack board here and how many targets. I actually just got off the phone a few minutes ago with Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst and a friend of our show here. And he says that, listen, he goes, his analysis is put together. He said there are basically 1,000 different targets that are scattered throughout Iran that we have to try and attack. And with these 80 shots here, 100 shots here, 130 there, whatever, on these back and forth things, he said, number one, they're not that important because all the important targets had already been serviced in the first part. And the ones that really matter for control of the strait are underground. So it's not going to matter how many targets you hit because it's not going to change the dynamic that Iran is in control of the strait. On the other hand, he said that Iran only has to fire at 10 general targets, the 10 of the bases that we have in there, and they'll just continue to pummel them. And apparently that's what was going on even right now. Gary's looking to see if we can find any active headlines on that. But this just shows the futility. We are going to throw stuff at the Iranian side, and it's not going to have any effect on the main issue, which is forcing control of the Strait of Hormuz out of their hands so that we get to dictate that. And then in return, we're getting hit in targets that are all above ground. And so every strike is usually hitting something that matters to us. And the most important thing, as you pointed out, that strait stays closed.
Bright videos.
All right. We got to figure out something here when it comes to channels like this, because not enough of you guys are subscribed to them. Okay, that was Daniel Davis. He does a phenomenal daily, even more than daily, literally hourly updates on the war, everything, the best guests in the entire world. We got to get him on the program. I called my dad this weekend. He didn't answer on Saturday. I'll be honest, he didn't answer. And I was literally calling him about Daniel Davis. But then he called me back after I had taken a nap and I woke up. And I had forgotten to tell him that we got to get Daniel Davis on the Alex Jones Show. The way he breaks it down, of course, a combat veteran, a lot of military experience as well. But really, here's the thing. The more you present information like this, the better you get at doing it. And we're starting to get people that have really, really sharpened themselves far, far past the degree that I have. And he's definitely one of those people. That's why I encourage other people like a Joe Kant or an Anthony Aguilar to do more media, to do more interviews specifically, also just to do shows, period. Like, these dudes should have shows, especially if you're running for political office, right? I'm a big believer in that. So, like, we've got to reach a level where the populace realizes, and we've always said this, we said this literally since probably before I was born in 1997, my dad was probably saying this, it's cool to be informed. It's badass to be informed. That's where you want to be. A real intellectual is not somebody that's read 1,000 stupid books and went to college and learned some therapy speak AR language. I guess it is a weapon. HR language, right? A little Freudian slip there, because that's what it really is. It's a weapon against normal people that don't want to manipulate others. In reality, that's what, you know, a lot of these lawyers and other people do that have destroyed our lives, right? Just a little bit of anger there. Got to push that down. The real genius is somebody that knows how to rip a car apart and put it back together. The real genius is somebody that can identify, you know, 1,000 different types of birds and knows everything about their lifestyle and their habit and what they do. The real genius is the person that understands they live in the world and they're going to lift everybody else up because we're all created by God. Not this analytical, weird, yuppie thing, right? We pretend to know more than each other. Socrates said, I know that I know nothing. My dad said, I'm kind of retarded. It's basically the same phrase, right? And if we operated off that, I think we'd be a lot better off. And even the people with the wealth of experience, the world of experience, the most reassuring thing you can hear from them, and also most terrifying, kind of double-edged sword, I don't know. That's what some of them say. We're all in the same boat here trying to figure this stuff out. Let's unite forces together and support everybody doing amazing media, amazing broadcasts. Notice how I'm not even plugging myself right now, although I will later on in the broadcast. Seriously, pull this up on YouTube really quick. Transition Protocol. And don't worry, we're not getting fake boobs or anything. Transition Protocol. Larry Johnson, Pepe Escobar, Dr. Z, all distinguished political or geopolitical analysts, literally the best guests in the entire world, connections to Pakistan, connections to Iran, connections to Russia. When I say that, I mean sources, of course, on the ground, people that they interview, they talk to. Larry Johnson was in, he's basically never wrong, okay? He was in the CIA for 31 years. What have you done, Cupcake? Shit, what have I done? Nothing, right? So I learn from these people. I absorb their information, and there are things I agree, disagree with, whatever. The point is, iron sharpens iron, and you are not left out from that experience. You're having that experience right now. We're literally doing that together right now, because my mission, when I leave here today, I don't stop doing the show. I do more research. I learn more facts, more information. I book more guests. I plan to sell more products to fund the show, support the show. Like, this is a lifestyle. This is a way of life. This is what we do. And this is what you do too out there in the audience. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because if we don't have that childlike innocence and wonder, if we allow them to take that away from us, and we become these depressed people that are fighting over like tiny little numbers and tiny little stats and whatever. The point is, we're anti-war, America first, pro-humanity, and we want our troops home right now. Right now. And this is something, like I always say, the truth is the best propaganda. Who'd I hear that from? Larry Johnson, because it's true. He's basically never wrong. It's a fact. If you know the truth, you should be able to explain it very simply, like three sentences and less, or like four, like a small paragraph, whatever, right? We'll allow that. But if it's a word salad thing that you got to stretch out over how long this war gone on for, like 4 or 5 months now, if it's something you got to stretch out for half a year, you keep lying, saying the same thing, Iran must never have a nuclear weapon, we're going to kill the mullahs, we're going to have regime change. Oh, wait, no, we're not. It's not about that. We just want to open the strait, but we're going to kill them all. We're going to get them. We're going to eliminate it. We can do it anytime we want. The schizophrenia of that, even people, just normal people, veterans, people that are getting involved in media, new alternative media people, I'll call them, even people that may get it wrong some of the times, you know what, I may get it wrong some of the times, Joe Kent may get it wrong some of the times, my dad, Tucker, Nick Fuentes, whatever you want to say, the people making an honest effort to find the truth are going to see 10,000 times the return on investment, and I think positive political change that we're looking for, that we're campaigning for, simply by getting the people awake and informed. That is what my dad always talks about, the cascade, the chain reaction, and that's why I get it. I understand when my dad gets mad and people go, you're not doing enough, X, Y, Z, you're not trying hard enough, whatever. We're literally fighting for you every single day. Your goal, your number one objective should be to get people to share live feed, share the link, share the transmission. Because without that, we can't win, period. That is the most important thing for you to keep in mind. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin, Steven Crowder, Xavier Dourisseau, all these twat waffles, whatever they're called, whatever we'll consider them, all these people, they are propped up by a machine, by an industry so vast that men hush their voices lest they be heard speaking about it. Okay? We are not. You are that for us. And that is the spirit bomb. That is the spirit bomb of all of this. We just need a little bit of your energy. Want you to buy a product, of course, that really supports the show. Grab the Methylene Blue. Why not? But at a bare minimum, share this to people. Text it to people. Tell a friend at work. Tell a family member. Tell them about what's going on. Tell them about the Iran war, Ukraine, Section 224, Epstein files, you name it. Fluoride in your water, poison in your food. There's so many places just to get started. Because once you notice one room in the panopticon, you'll notice them all and you'll want out of it immediately. We have to reach that point collectively together. One of the places you can do that, thealexjonesstore.com. Support independent media. Support the best broadcasters in the world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and ensure this transmission never goes off the air.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, so I've broadcasted for 5 hours and 30 minutes today. We're going to round it out with some calls. We had a wide variety of topics today. We got a bunch of people on the board that I do want to talk to. And more, y'all, I want y'all to call in. That's 512-266-0642. If you want to call in, 512-266-0642. Oh, I need to go to that speech therapist to learn how to sing pretty songs and not have that lisp. 512-266-0642. Go ahead and call in and let me know what you thought of the Joe Kent interview. I want to hear like futurist predictions. Okay. I want to hear what you think is going to happen in the next 6 months resulting from the Iran or Ukraine war. Let's go ahead and get started with Jefferson in Virginia. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Rex? Thanks for taking my call.
100%.
Yeah. Joe Kent talking about the mass casualty event possibility just means Trump is going to double down. You know he's going to double down like a like an Uncle Dunce.
Sure.
And just keep saying that we need more weaponry that we don't
have.
We have to area denial the southern coast of Iran from the Iranians. We're going to take the actions that make Bandar Abbas uninhabitable. if we have to. And you're going to say it's a war crime and he's not going to care.
Right. No, so, I agree. I agree with you. I think that that's already happening. I think they're blowing up the bridges. That's already a war crime. So I agree. So where are you going from there?
Well, how do you not have to worry about war crimes? You just don't win. I mean, you just don't lose, right? You just keep fighting until you have won the war, and then you don't get prosecuted for the war crime.
Well, how do we do that? That seems impossible.
Well, I'm not sure what's going to be left of Iran if we have to break out stuff that nobody acknowledges we have in terms of weaponry. But
we can't use the theoretical or not theoretical, like the hyper weapons that we do have. We can't use those because then we become an international pariah. It's even worse than nuclear. So like we've lost because it's like saying, oh, I lose the boxing match, I'm going to go shoot him in the head. Technically, I win. It's like, no, you still lost the fight. So
I can see that you're worried about how the rest of the world views us, but I don't think the United States in the end game cares what the rest of the world thinks of us. We're a little bit like the Israelis. We're heading in that direction, but the Israelis are going to suffer for the greater Israel project, but I don't think we're going to. Not when the world sees what we have.
So you think that's the only solution is like display of force?
We're already displaying force. We're just not using anything near our best stuff.
How many people or how many buildings or how many cities do we have to destroy, and how's that worth it?
Well, obviously we've told Iran you cannot have a nuclear weapon. We're not going to let you have a nuclear weapon, and you don't need a nuclear power program, certainly not the one that you're trying to build for yourselves. You don't need that. We could give you a different power source if you would take it, but you're claiming that you need your nuclear power generation reactors for civilian uses, but that's not true. So obviously you were.
Why is it not true? They're a signatory to the NPT. What are you talking about, Unc?
No, I'm saying if you believe that their nuclear power program and what treaties they sign will keep them from having a nuclear weapon, then you're deliberately naive.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon. Like, we murdered his ass with a missile.
Again, you're believing their statements on their nuclear aspirations.
Yeah, signed the NPT. We believe Israel's nuclear aspirations don't exist, even though they're not a signatory and they openly have nuclear weapons. Why are we a hypocrite? Yeah,
they've had nuclear weapons since 1966 or something, but why would they sign on to being inspected? Why do they need to?
Well, why are they allowed to threaten other nations, including us, with nuclear weapons like they did in 1973? Why is that not an issue, but Iran theoretically, possibly Navy getting one is, and it's worth using a super weapon on them to make sure that they don't? Would it not be worth it to use the same super weapon on Israel in your theoretical example?
I am perfectly happy to see us use a super weapon on Israel.
Okay. All right. I'll be honest with you. I'm not stoned enough for this conversation. I'm good today. Thank you, Jefferson. Let's go ahead and go to Ryan in Georgia. Ryan in Georgia on election fraud. Trump's release falling short. Ryan, what's on your mind?
Hi, Rex. Great to be on the Ken interview. It was amazing as always.
Thank you.
So it seems like, you know, we got these bombshell documents out last week and it was great. Everybody got pumped. And then this week, you know, it's all, you just hear negative about it. It's kind of seems like it's being pushed under the rug. I'm even seeing things that Republicans don't even want to touch it now. So maybe it was this kind of like a carrot on the stick, you think?
Insane because, like, we have top Democrats and people cheating and rigging the elections and they never get punished. So the thing is like, we hear a lot of the time is like, we got to vote. We got to do X, Y, Z to make sure the Republicans are able to do what they need to do. I don't buy that garbage anymore because when they're in power, they don't do it. They don't do it. And they literally have them dead to rights on a bunch of different things. I mean, just the idea of using the voting machines alone when 130 countries have banned them is ridiculous. But just putting all of that aside, the idea of like, what do they always say about the Republicans? Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I think that's what this is. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. You know, we get all these promises and they never follow through with it. And that's what I'm thinking this was. It was just a bunch of smoke and mirrors. because this week, you know, after that drop, here we are at the beginning of the week, and we're thinking ground invasion in Iran. So it's like, and you know, the deportations, that was another thing. It was like, okay, here's this, we're going to fix this, I'm going to run on this. When it comes down to it, what have we really got? And I think this is just going to be another one of those things. We've got all this information, just this, it's absolutely happened, but what are we going to do about it? Probably nothing.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation, because here's the thing. The war is the thing that's going to impact us, like, right now. Like, in the next 6 months, things are going to get exponentially worse as this drags on, as Trump fails to extricate us, and as we get further and further mired in. God knows what they're going to do over there. Lord have mercy. May Jesus Christ save us and deliver us from the Iran war globally across the planet. Just everyone pray with me right now. May Jesus Christ deliver us from the Iran war and get us out of this. But all that being said, the reason why I bring that up is, we're in this situation where it's a rotating crisis, and it's going to come time when it's election time again, and the Republicans are probably going to lose really bad, namely because of the war, but who knows, also maybe for other factors. And I wouldn't consider myself to be a Republican anymore. Certainly not. That being said, as my dad says, I can call balls and strikes, and they're screwed either way. So what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, they're getting nothing but strikes right now.
Sure.
Absolutely. But yeah, the whole situation over there, that's just, in my opinion, I think that's a battle we're never going to win.
Yes.
We're going into another country and we're trying to tell them how to live, how to develop, what they can and can't do. And we wouldn't let anyone come over here and do that.
Think about how angry the idea of our women having to wear burqas makes us. And then think about the idea of them having to have OnlyFans. And it's kind of the same concept in a way.
Yeah, you would like to think that, you know, we would take to the streets in that situation. But then again, if we watch this election fraud happen, some of us, we just don't do enough sometimes, I think, to counteract. So
I think the key,
that if that stuff was to come here, could we have enough people stand up to defeat these kind of actions?
Well, the thing is we got to stand up now for our country and what we believe in, not what someone else wants us to fight, not some stupid battle for other people. We got to prioritize Americans first. Thank you for the call. Let's go ahead and take Charles in Ohio talking about the energy conflict. Charles, you're on the air.
Yes, it's a pleasure to get to speak to you.
Thank you.
And
likewise.
I feel this is very important. I'm glad I get to talk to you with your background in chemistry, biology. But are you familiar with the Fischer-Tropsch cycle, water cycle?
You know, it's been a while since I took environmental science. Will you give me a walkthrough really quick on the precipitation and all that?
Well, I'm really not the right person, but
okay.
I can inform you what it is, and I've got the notes here, but I haven't got it so I could spell it out to you.
No, you're good. Take your time. Just use simpler words to explain more complicated concepts.
Okay, what this is, all I'm saying is every home in the United States could generate its own electricity and its own gas. And it would do it by this is the difference between an electric vehicle and a gasoline engine. An electric vehicle is a battery on wheels looking for a place to plug in. A gasoline vehicle is a portable power station. It generates gas and electricity. The exhaust gas we throw away every day, and if anybody's familiar with it, anybody's gone through college, they know that internal combustion engine, supposedly, they tell you, it only utilizes in the neighborhood of 25% of the fuel you put in it to take you to your destination. And that's close enough to true. But the thing is, we don't have to waste the other 75%. Well, 10% of it is parasitic drag and losses. But 60%, 30% goes out the radiator as heat. 30% goes out the exhaust as heat. That could be captured and used. And see, the thing is, though, every car that we call a pollutant in the world, that exhaust gas can be turned into burnable fuel through that cycle. And listen, Edison and J.P. Morgan knew this when they financed and built Pearl Street. They knew every home could generate its own gas. And they had the patents on this for internal combustion engines that manufactured their own fuel as you use them. And listen, it doesn't only apply to internal combustion engines. The United States Navy has patents on it where they looked at it for using it on submarines. But the United States Navy has something. They have all the money in the world to dedicate to nuclear. But we could have made, we could have perfected this for people's
Thank you. I appreciate the call, and I will do more research. Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to the next caller. Let's go to Jordan in California on Iran. Jordan, you're on the air.
Hey, Rex, how can you hear me?
I can hear you good.
Awesome. Yeah, previous caller, a couple things wrong with that coming out the tailpipe. You need hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons is what fuel is made of. Yeah, you're
right.
Using heat out of both ways, but yeah, a lot of fallacies there.
Right.
No, I just want to talk about Iran. And that we kind of looked over the whole idea of money laundering with Ukraine.
Sure.
Ever since Trump got in, that most of the money laundering probably stopped. I imagine. I imagine
it's all the same. The reason why I don't talk about it ad nauseum is just like, oh, we have a person with cancer that lost all their hair and their teeth are falling out. It's like they lost another tooth.
Yeah, chemo.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to bring up the money laundering part, and then I really like your guys' products, especially your dad's, and I just bought some toothpaste off of your website, 50% off.
Sick.
Carbon toothpaste is just a game changer. But yeah, I think it all comes back to money. You just follow the money, and USAID's pretty much no longer around. I mean, there's still a lot going on, but they're definitely reducing it. But war is money to these people, and I think that's
what's your prediction? What's your prediction for the next six months? And then call back in 6 months, Jordan from California, and we'll talk about it again. What's your prediction?
Right. I think eventually Trump is going to find an off ramp. Hopefully, I'm hoping. But I think I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Honestly, I don't really have a good prediction, but I think,
what way does this expand? Does Ukraine, Russia expand first, or does Iran, Israel, United States expand first?
I think the Israel thing expands. I think the Lebanon, Turkey, they're going to start doing the Greater Israel Project and all that. I think Russia eventually is going to start coming around and kind of solve that issue. Hopefully we stop funding that. We've already figured out that Zelensky's a corrupt politician, so hopefully that gets pretty easy. But
don't get me started. I've interviewed Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar, Green Beret, Purple Heart recipient. He was over there in Gaza working for the JHF and other stuff, and he's explained to me from the Israeli perspective of the military goals, they're actually very close to doing what they need to get done, because they're cutting a corridor between Syria and Lebanon, and then a corridor between like Iraq and Iran with the separatist groups that they can control and funnel resources to. So in terms of cutting roads to build their Greater Israel Project, I forget, it's Operation Gideon's Chariots, right? Or something like that. And maybe I'm blanking. Okay. I got the wrong name for it. This is what they're doing from the American perspective. It is literally like the idea of taking your child to a batting cage, turning on the machine, and having them sit in front of it.
Hmm.
That's basically what it is, dude. Like, all our troops over there, they're screwed. Like what are they supposed to do? They can't fight a war against Iran because they can't go over there and invade a nation protected by all these mountains and stuff that hasn't fallen in like 4,000 years. And they can't stay safe in the base because we don't have air defense. It's like a Looney Tunes idea.
It's like we're fighting with our hands tied behind our back. And I've experienced that. I was in Iraq. So I've already been part of the Greater Israel Project. So
maybe talk about that a little bit. Talk about that a little bit. Yeah. What was your experience like over there?
So I was a medic for the cavalry, and we were in charge of securing their elections. And coincidentally, they had more secure elections than us. You know, they would use fingerprints for their election process. But we were dealing with mostly the local leaders and going to mahalas and talking to all of them and seeing what we can help them. But another part of it was we were helping build their country. You know, we would repave their roads like every 3 months, and that was like $10 million just in Baghdad, you know, not the whole country. And then we would carry around, my LT would carry around $10,000 in a suitcase, and we would find people to try to clear out fields that were full of trash because they don't have a trash system. And, you know, most of those people would just take the money and run. We would, maybe 10% would actually rebuild a field and make a soccer field out of it. So it's just, yeah, again, it just all comes back to money. You know, it's all big money grift.
Everyone's just trying to survive, but at certain levels that stops, right? And then it becomes this hunger, and that's what Rockefeller said, is just how much money is enough. When asked, he said one more dollar. And I often come back to that in my mind when I think about, you know, the way some of these people operate. I think when you reach a certain level of money, power, or status, you kind of become like an entity and less of a person. I think this is just kind of a fact of life. You know, the Arabs, if you watch Lawrence of Arabia, the original movie, there's a scene where one of like the Arab tribesmen explains that he doesn't want his photo taken because he's going to lose a portion of his soul. I do believe in that in various aspects, especially when it comes to a certain level of like financial accumulation. I think you look at somebody like Trump. I was a Trump supporter in 2024 because I looked at Donald Trump as a man who lost money and actually lost power, you know, trying to at least be somewhat of a more peaceful guy, won on a referendum against the Iraq war that you fought in, right? And only to see him come back in 2024 and just lie about all of his policies. I voted for him to end the war in Ukraine. So I say you're very disappointed. Really quick before you go, because you are a veteran, as a veteran, what is your prognosis on him as commander in chief? And anything else you want to add?
I definitely don't like it. He, like you said, he's kind of done a 180 on everything he's ever talked about. You know, he's right. Now grifting. He's now making more money than ever.
It's absurd.
And, you know, the whole no new wars, the Epstein thing, everything. It seems like a turnaround and tinfoil hat moment. I feel like it's, I forgot who, but he's a Jewish guy, and he's talking about a brain wave or a brain laser or whatever, electromagnetic beam or whatever to brainwash people, right? And if I had contact with Trump, I would tell him stop sleeping next to your phone, and then wear some sort of sensor that detects any type of radiation, any type of
real,
you know, anything, you know.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they also give him things like a gold pager. I don't know what else that is, if not a threat.
Links to the phone somehow, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Those are good points. Call back in half a year. Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it. From Joe and from America, I guess. American Joe. How are you doing?
Rex.
How are you doing?
Can you hear me, Rex? All right. So I wanted to bring something up. Like my bank, it offers something called a statement of condition. What that is they offer a pamphlet to their customers, and I'm not going to say who my bank is.
Sure.
But it tells their customers what their assets and investments are compared to their debt. So you know that your lender, whether or not they're underwater, like
yeah, they're stable. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I never really hear anybody talk about that because, I mean, you know, I might not have all the money in the world, but at least I feel like the bank that I have it secured in is plenty above water. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the vast majority of institutions are insolvent, right? So I think the reason why people don't talk about it is because people don't want to talk about it.
Right. Also, I have one other thing. I think a debate between Rabbi Schmoly and Nick Fuentes would be a good debate.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll push for that one 100%.
All right, Rex. All right, thanks, Rex.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Joe. Wherever you are in the beautiful US of A. Hope you're having a good day. Let's go to Sean in California with news. Sean.
Hey, good afternoon, Rex. How you doing out there in Austin, Texas?
Doing pretty good.
Great, great. So I want to give you either a good news or a bad news because they're both going to be kind of take a little bit of narrative, but I don't want to waste too much time of your callers. So
no, you're good. We got 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. Just go ahead and tell us.
Okay, well, we'll hit you with the bad news first. So back when I was a little boot back in the late 90s and, you know, doing the Marine Reserves and things, we noticed that even though the Marine Corps can make its numbers, we had a tremendously tough time recruiting. And so where my headspace is at today is, are we recruiting more recruits into our armed forces that are foreign and thus maybe not loyal to us,
right,
like the police forces we're seeing? Or do we encourage the people who do have our nation's best interests at heart, their home, you know, from here at home, to sign up knowing they're going to be sent to the meat grinder? It's kind of a, you know, a catch 22.
Yes, it's really also extremely Roman as well, because that's part of what happened to Rome, is a big factor in the decline. So history mirrors itself for sure.
Yeah, and so remember, if we don't get our good people on the inside of the military, then they're just going to use drones and AI and other things to replace us and then justify it. And we won't have the tactical training either to counter, and if anything ever does go door-to-door kinetic, you know, in the homeland. Now, there's good news, and one of your callers kind of touched on this too. Your other site that may sound like 50%off.com, something similar like that, last Friday morning in the mailbox, I got some products from you, the Super Blue and that. And my point on that, Rex, as good news, is it shows that even with all the lawfare and the negativity directed at your family and directed at your products and so on, if we as patriots still say, hey, we want it this way, we're going to do it this way, we're going to put our money where our mouth is, we're going to support the patriots that believe in us and that we believe in, and we keep this economy going,
right,
we keep doing, and we keep pushing, we will win. We will get nice things in our mailbox. We will get nice results in our family, in our communities, and so
right
on. But we got to, you know, we got to keep our chin up a little bit. And I know sometimes you put in long hours. Harrison puts in long hours with you, Alex. You know, you guys are grinding.
Right.
Keep grinding, guys, because people like me,
you are
out here in California. We see it and we need it. We need that motivation.
Yes.
You guys are that motivation.
You are so kind. You are too kind. Thank you so much for your support. This is the only life that I've ever known. Literally, I've been in here since I was 8. So I just like, for me, what I do on a business side, business perspective, I've been doing a business, my own business for 6 years now. When I see the package go out the door, that's everything I was taught. That's honoring our relationship together, that 360 win. Thank you so much for your call, man. That's very kind. I want to get to Michael in Ohio. Let's get to Michael. Kent interview in Cuba is next. 1 minute on the clock. 1 minute, 5 seconds, Michael.
Minute. All right.
1 minute.
This is your boy, Michael Taylor. I'm going to get you on X, 50%off.com. Hit up that Ultimate Sleep Sport. My wife loves it. She's going through menopause shit and her stuff. And yeah, so
let's go, dude.
Anyway,
that's awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's great. I've ordered 3 bottles. We're going to get more. So Cuba is next. I thought it was going to be much sooner. I called your dad about this. I really thought it was going to be in like now. But they're definitely prepping for that. And if you look at
right
the block that Trump wants to take between Greenland, Cuba, Canada, he's talked about all these places. That's literally the whole North American block that they want to segment us into like 7 countries. And so I feel like Trump's a total sold out globalist. I don't think he's going to solve Iran anytime soon. I think he really wants the long haul. And just real quick, Republicans are going to lose, man. We got to start putting forth independent candidates.
Yes.
You're not beholden to a party, and you don't have to worry about a primary. We can put 20 independents on a ticket.
Independent is the future. See you all on Wednesday. Peace.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexshowstore.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc. The flower of the Renaissance challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at theolivestonestore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.